It is good to see everyone today, and we praise God for the privilege of assembling in His name. Oswald Chambers, in his devotion this month, I think it's June 3rd and 4th, he focuses on two verses in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And I was reading those and studying those, and he made a point about listening to God. And I just kind of want to just take a simple little approach to this today. God says a lot of things to us in His Word, makes a lot of promises to us. But you know, I find myself not always listening to what God's telling me and what God's promising me and what God wants for me in my life. And in fallen human nature, we're just not good at listening. You know, that's one of our problems. I share with the church Wednesday night that Patty and I were here Wednesday. She left me at the office, and we were going to be at the middle school at 3:30. And she came back by at about 3:25 to get me. And so I was putting things up, and she began telling me the things she had just done. And if I locked the door to the office, she was speaking to me. And as we walked to the truck, she was speaking to me. And as we got in the truck, she was still telling me those things. And as I backed up and was going around the parking lot to get out, I had to turn to her and I said, "Patty, you know, I did not hear a thing you just said. So go over with me again what you were telling me." Because my mind was in four or five other places. We have the ability to do that. People can be speaking to us, and we can hear them audibly, but we're not listening. And a lot of times that happens in our relationship with God. And that's crucial. I need not only hear God, I need to listen to God, and I need to take it in. I know a lot of these things. I know what's in here in a lot of places. I can quote them back to you. But am I taking them into my heart as to what God is saying to me personally? Moment by moment. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says this. Let your lifestyle behavior be without coveting things. And be content with all the things that you already have. Because He has said to you this. And I am embellishing the Greek here. I will never leave, nor abandon, nor forsake, nor fail you. I want to say that again. Jesus is saying to you right now, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. I will never fail you. And I will never forsake you. So that you may be able to boldly, courageously, and with faith say, the Lord is my paraclesis helper, the one who comes alongside of me. I want you to grab this picture before we even get into the prayer. I shared this Wednesday night. Paraclesis in the Greek, which we use as advocate, helper, Holy Spirit, gives you this picture. It means one who comes alongside to help. Now, if you think of a Boy Scout on a corner, and you think of an elderly lady who has a hard time walking and is limping very badly on one leg, and this Boy Scout comes up beside her, puts his arm in her arm, and helps her across that busy, dangerous street to get to the other side, well, then you understand what's being said when it says the Lord is my helper. Because guess what, people? You and I, whether we want to admit it or not, we're limping through life. Amen. And every street we're crossing is dangerous. Yeah. And I need the Lord right there in yoked with me, arm and arm. And that's what He's saying. Whatever you go through, whatever you face, I don't care how fast that traffic's going, I got you. I got you. So the one who comes alongside to yoke himself to me and to help, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my companion helper, and I will not fear. And I could stop right there. The Lord is with me. I will not fear. Whatever it is I have to face in this horizontal world. Whatever man may do to me, whatever the circumstances are, because, and why can I say that? Because of what he just said to me. Now don't miss that. I can't say verse 6 if I have not yet heard and listened to and taken into my heart verse 5. Because the Lord has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. And I will never fail you. Oswald Chambers titles this, The Never Failing God. The God who never fails. Who says, I'm alongside of you and I'm in yoke with you. But you know why I fear? You know why I worry? You know why I get full of anxiety? You know why I make wrong decisions? Because I'm not listening. Because I'm not listening to what God's trying to not only tell me, but promise me. So let's go to him in prayer. Father, as I call on you today, I ask the forgiveness of daily and weekly confessed specific sin that we share in the closet. And I pray for forgiveness now and a cleansing by your precious blood. If we will confess our sin, you will forgive us our sin and cleanse us of our sin by your blood. 1 John. So, Father, I've listened to that verse. I've taken it in, and it has become established in my heart. So, Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit will lead us as we study this. I pray for an anointing and an infilling of your spirit, body, soul, spirit, and mind. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will be allowed to encourage us in your word this day. Holy Spirit, move upon all our hearts. What do I need to hear from you today? In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. All right, powerful stuff. I really don't even need to expound much, but I'm going to keep reading it to you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this, let your daily lively behavior be without coveting things, and be content with such things as you have, because you got all you need based on what I'm about to say. Yes. That's what God's saying. You've got all you need. You don't need anything else. Right. Whatever you've already got, I want you to understand. I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me or whatever I'm facing in this life. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. Yeah. So I can grab hold of his presence yesterday, today, and forevermore. Realize what he's promising me, and then notice how far it takes him. Verse 9, don't be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines concerning what you can eat and what you can't eat. For it is a good thing that your heart be established with the doctrine of grace. All right, that's not in there, but that's what he's talking about. Your heart needs to be established with the doctrine of grace, so that all these people that are attacking the Hebrews here with all these ordinances, you can disregard that stuff and let your heart be established with the doctrine of grace, so that you don't get deceived in all these lies. Now, that's my premise today. God's promise is, I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. You got to hear that. You got to listen to that. And then you got to let your heart get established in what I just said to you. So it's got to go from the ears to the mind to the heart. A lot of times it goes to the ears and no further. A lot of times it goes from the ears to the mind. There are a lot of people that intellectually understand the Word of God. There are a lot of people that intellectually understand the promises. There are a lot of people that can give good advice, like I can, based on the Word of God. However, I and everybody else, it doesn't do us any good until it's established in our hearts. So this is what the Scripture is saying to you today. So, verse 5 says this, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, we're going to look at that in a moment. It's dealing with the presence of God. So, what is God saying to you today in this verse? That's what you've got to understand, and that's what you've got to take in. What is it that you're hearing from God right now? Because the Bible of 1 John tells us that you don't need this preacher that's standing up here. Hopefully he's going to be a blessing to you. Hopefully an anointed teacher of God can get you in the Word of God. But right now, the Holy Spirit is taking this verse, and he's saying, attempting to say different things to you through this verse. What is God trying to say to you? I've just read it. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to fail you. He's never going to forsake you, and he's never going to abandon you. So that you can say and establish in your heart, the Lord is my helper. He's my companion helper, and I'm not going to fear this. So what's the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? There have been people that have sat in my sermons for 30-something years, going all the way back to the Carolinas. And you know what they were very good at? Allowing themselves to be distracted during the message. And you say, Brother Lil, why in the world would somebody want to do that? Because they don't want to deal with the truth. They don't want to deal with conviction. You may be one of those people. You may be listening on the website and be one of those people. Somebody's making you listen to the message today. And you're going to listen to it, but you're not going to allow yourself to hear and listen to what God is saying to you. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and this is truth. You're listening to something right now. And you're listening to something every day of your life. We're either going to listen to the voice of God, or we're going to listen to the voice of doubt. We're either going to listen to the voice of faith, or we're going to listen to the voice of fear. We're either going to listen to the voice of, all you've got is today, don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus said, or we're going to listen to the voice of uncertainty. Or we're going to listen to the voice of what if. You know, what if this happens tomorrow? What if that happens tomorrow? I praise God for Jeannie's testimony. My friend, you can't change anything. Amen. You can't change anybody. Amen. But goodness gracious, some of us are trying. And all your efforts are failing. Only God can do what needs to be done in your life and in the life of others. Now, I want you to notice what he says there. In verse 5, he says, for he has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So we want to look at the spiritual discipline or the spiritual ability to really know how to listen to God and to take it in and establish it in our hearts. So go with me to a book that I've loved out of the Old Testament in a verse, Habakkuk. If you go with me to the book of Habakkuk, and we'll look at chapter 2, and this is the attitude that you've got to take. You've got to take the attitude of a watchman. You say, Brother Lil, what was a watchman? Well, you had watchmen in several different areas in the nation of Israel. You had the watchman that sat on the tower all through the night around the walls of Jerusalem, and he would warn if enemies were approaching in the night. You had another watchman that sat in the tower. It may have been the same one. When he saw the first rays of sunlight, he would blow the shofar to awaken everyone to begin their time of praise, those first 20 minutes or so before full sunrise. You had watchmen that sat upon the tower of Migdal in the fields of Bethlehem that watched out for the sheep, and they would watch all night long. And so you've got to allow yourself to have the attitude of the watchman. And a watchman was very still. And a watchman was very focused. And a watchman was very at peace when nothing was attacking or nothing was going wrong. But I want you to understand, a watchman was awake and a watchman was alert. And so this is what Habakkuk says. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will stand upon my watch, and I will set myself upon a spiritual tower. I'm going to place my mind as if I was on a watch in a spiritual tower, and I'm not going to look for enemies attacking Israel. I'm not going to look for the sunrise. I'm not going to look to see if any wolves are coming after the sheep. I'm only looking for one thing as I sit myself upon the watch. I will watch to see what the Lord will say unto me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone in the prayer closet specifically with this spiritual attitude and this spiritual focus? You know what most folks think prayer life's all about? Getting alone with God and asking Him a whole bunch of stuff. Asking Him to do this. Asking Him to do that. Asking Him to heal this one. And most of the stuff you're asking for, if you've not brought it before the Lord, you're probably, what does Paul tell us? You are asking amiss. Amen. You're asking in error. There are going to be many Christians going to stand before the judgment seat. They're saved, but the Lord's going to say your prayer life on a scale of 1 to 10 was a negative 2. You never got to the place where you brought your prayer life under my authority, under the authority of the Holy Spirit. You've never experienced a prayer where you started out praying as best you could, yet in the flesh, and know what it feels like when the Holy Spirit takes over. You say, Brother Leo, you know what that's like? Oh, yes, I know what that's like. If I don't have that, I'm messed up in prayer. If I don't get to the place where I can leave the prayer closet and realize, hey, the Spirit took over and He changed my petitions, or He tweaked them, or He took them in another direction, or He had me pray for a situation I wasn't even thinking about when I went in. So you've got to go in there and you've got to listen to God. The spiritual discipline of listening to God. So, you go in there tomorrow morning or you go in there this evening and say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to bring a few situations, not to your attention, but to mine, because you know all things. But let's phrase it that way. I'm going to bring a few situations to your attention. And now, Lord, I'm going to sit upon the tower and watch. And now I want to listen to what you have to say to me about this. What is it that you want to say to me about this? So when you see the attitude of Habakkuk, look at what he says. I will stand upon my watch. I will set myself upon the tower. And I will watch to see what He, the Lord, will say unto me. And then what am I going to answer when I am up? Reprove. Now, that word reprove in the Hebrew means the act of pleading with, correction, reproof, or stating a point. Now, I want you to write that down if you can. It's the act of pleading with, correction, reproof, or stating a point. You say, wait a minute, Brother Leo. And it's really a legal term. Wait a minute, Brother Lee, what are you saying? I'm saying the Lord will share with you His point about a certain situation or about a certain thing you're going through or about a certain thing you're thinking about, and believe it or not, it will probably be adversarial. What do you mean adversarial? I mean he's like a lawyer and you're like a lawyer over here and you've made your point to the Lord on 100 of occasions. Now you're allowing him to make his point to you, and you may need to be reproved a little bit. You may need to be corrected a little bit. But for goodness sake, can we not let Jesus make his points to us? Let the Holy Spirit make it. This is why you should feel this way. This is why you should. And he'll bring things to your mind. This is why you should be doing this. This is why you shouldn't. This is why you should take two steps forward. This is why you should be still. So it may be adversarial, but it'll be productive. And it'll be successful. You know the tragedy? How many Christians can stand up and say, boy, you know something, I was going in this direction, but praise God, the Lord corrected me in this. I was going in this direction. The Lord changed my whole direction. Praise God, I gave him a chance to do that. No, people don't ever say that. You know what they say? Okay, God, this is the direction I'm going in. You bless it. Okay, God, this is the man or woman I want. You bless it. Okay, God, this is the job. You bless it. And it's a tragedy. And I realize, goodness, that we've not been taught this from our youth. Patty, you got to teach this to the young ones. We got a whole generation that's not going to live a life of laying out their plans before God and asking God to bless them. It's adversarial, but it's successful. It's adversarial, but it's productive. It's adversarial, but it's scriptural. And it's the way God works. Because guess what? When we're praying, when we're conversing, it's a conversation between two people. Conversation between God Himself, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, and Leo Doyle down here on earth. Guess what? One of them's perfect, one of them's imperfect. Amen. So do you understand why when I'm conversing with the Lord, the perfect one needs to correct and reprove and state his points to the imperfect one? Yeah. But so often, it's the imperfect one. So, oh, wow, this would be a nice thing to do. How many Christians, we live our lives thinking, oh, this ought to be a nice thing to do. This is a good thing. How can you say, Brother Leo, we shouldn't do this? This is a good thing to do. Well, Brother Leo ain't saying nothing. But the bottom line is, look at what he says. Now, what's the whole key? Verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and I will set myself upon the tower. I'm going to be alert. I'm going to be focused. I'm going to be looking for one thing. Not the sunrise, not the enemies of Israel, not the wolves attacking the sheep. I want to look for one thing. I want to hear. I want to listen to see what the Lord will say unto me. And then he allows you to answer. And it'll be adversarial. I want you to understand that, because he has to mold us. He has to deal with us to get us on the same page that he's on. It's a wonderful relationship. It's awesome. Now, let me show you a warning in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Now, this is the kind of verse, and you can do it with any verse. But we'll be within this verse again next time we meet, good Lord willing. But what I want you to understand, you need to take a verse like this and stay in it for about 3 weeks. And really get it established in your heart, because, man, Lehman, it blesses my life to moment by moment be thinking Jesus is saying to me, hey, Lehman, I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. I will never fail you. All my power, all my strength is right there with you. And it's a wonderful thing to know. Now, look in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. It says this, and he's telling the Hebrew Christians, because they're about to go back to temple worship and leave the grace of their relationship with Jesus Christ. And he says this, wherefore, as the Holy Spirit speaks today, if you will hear his voice. Just grab that if. I mean, that's truth. It's an if, okay? It ain't a given. It's not a given if you will hear his voice. Now, I'm going to tell you one way you're sure not going to hear his voice. When you're not listening. I want you to understand something, my friend. I can read a whole psalm right now. I can read Psalm 46, the whole thing right now. And when I finish that psalm, I can absolutely have gotten nothing out of it, because while I was reading it, my mind got distracted. My mind got distracted. I can quote Bible verses right now, not get a thing out of them, because my mind got distracted. Just like my example with Patty, I'm going to be honest with you. I did not hear a thing she said. I knew she was talking. I knew she told me she went by the bank, went by the store, went by the grocery store, went by the hardware store. I knew, went out and got Brent to put check the tires for air. I knew all those things were going to happen, Brent. But I didn't hear a word she was saying. Because we had to be somewhere at 3:30. I was thinking about someone I just met with. I was thinking about a text I just got to set up a meeting with someone else. And I didn't hear a word she said. And it hit me when we got in the car and I said, I'm sorry. I said, you know, I've not heard a word you said. So notice what he says. If you will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of the temptations. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years. 40 years they saw the miracles of God and they still didn't have faith in the Lord. What is that saying? That's Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes. We need to start hearing and listening. Yes. He hath proved himself. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Now, my friend, this is a spiritual, it's a literal and a spiritual double meaning all through this. When you're not hearing the voice of God, you are not entering into the rest He has for you in this life. When you're listening to the spirit of confusion, when you're listening to the spirit of anxiety, when you're listening to all these other voices, you're not entering into a rest. I've been going through a saying, I want to use a yoga word, but yoga is so gone against the truth of God, and it's a cheap imitation, but people buy into all this meditation stuff. Meditation's good when you're meditating on the Lord. But the Lord's trying to tell me right now, the word was mantra, but the Lord's trying, and I repeated it coming in today, because Patty and I got a lot on it. And coming in today, I just said as we were driving in, I can only live in this moment. And the Lord's with me in this moment. I can't worry about Monday. I can't worry about a week from Monday. I can't get through the next 20 or 30 days with stuff we're going to be doing. I cannot do it. Got to go out of town. Don't want to go out of town. Got stuff here that needs to be done. People here that need to be ministered to. But all I can do is live in this one moment. And the truth is, you know what Jesus is saying to me? Leo, I'm with you. Leo, I won't leave you. Leo, I won't fail you. And so you got to grab hold of that. You got to grab hold of that. I can't listen to the voice. When I make these notes, I'm making them to me. I put in there the voice of uncertainty, the voice of doubt, and the voice of fear. All right, that's Oswald Chambers. You know what voice I added to it? The voice of what if. I'm the guy that thinks of the 20 different scenarios that could turn into a disaster if we undertake this or we undertake that. I'm the one whose mind gets filled with those things. And the Lord's saying to me right now, I'll handle it. But you've got to live in this moment. So look at what it says. So I swear in my wrath that because they would not listen, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Two things happen when I'm not listening to God. Number one, my heart is filled with unbelief. And number two, I depart from Him in my relationship. You ever heard these people say, oh, Brother Leo, I read the Bible every day? Nowhere in the Word of God does it say read the Bible every day. But it says you better listen to God. If you're going to read the Bible, you better be hearing what the Bible's saying and listening to what the Holy Spirit's trying to impart into your heart. Oh, I've read through the Bible in a year on numerous occasions. You wouldn't believe how many Southern Baptists have come up to me bragging about that. I've read through the Bible in a year on many of occasions. Did you hear one thing that you read? I'd rather have one verse impacted, established in my heart. Because that's Scripture. So what is the Lord saying to you today? You know, He's speaking to every one of you who are in this room and everyone who's listening on this website. He's saying something. When I say this, I want to show you the miracle of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to quote to you right now from my mind, Hebrews 13:5. And it says this, for He has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. And I will never fail you. And every one of you are having different thoughts about that right now in different situations that the Holy Spirit wants you to apply this verse to. So that you may say, once you apply that verse, the Lord is going to help with this. The Lord is going to take over with this. And I am not going to fear or worry or be full of anxiety over this anymore. And you'll know it's gotten your heart when that's the result. If that's not the result, it's not there yet. So what I need to do, brother, you keep going till that wall falls down. You keep knocking on that door till it opens. You keep seeking till you find it. You keep asking until the answer. You get back on your tower. You set yourself back upon the watch. It's a great prayer at night. I pray this prayer sometimes at night when I go to bed and everything's silent. Patty's right here and she's quiet and probably already asleep. And I lay down and I say, okay, Lord, here I am. What is it you want to say to me? What is it that I need to hear from you? A lot of times I get these messages. A lot of times God speaks to me about what I'm to say to somebody and what I messed up in saying to them previously in counseling or something and how to give them better guidance. But the Lord is saying, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and I will never fail you in this situation. And I've got all kind of stuff in these notes, but I'm jumping forward to the end. But the one thing you've got to grab hold of is this. The promises of God, we rock ourselves into a lie that they're made for everybody else and not for us. This is for you personally. And every promise in here is. But this one I'm reading today is for you personally. Let me show you a familiar verse. Go to Matthew chapter 28 and I'll close with this. I shared with a bunch on Wednesday night. In the Southern Baptist ministry, we take this verse, which is known as the Great Commission, and we apply it to our Foreign Mission Board back in the day. And it begins with verse 19 and 20, and certain things are emphasized. But I want to read it to you this way today. Start in verse 16, it says this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now Jesus is leaving, and I'll pick up next time to really give you some scriptures out of John that show you how important what he's saying is going on here. He's about to ascend. So his physical presence is about to leave earth. And that's why we see that discussion in John. I got to go away and send you my spiritual presence. Because they're scared. Deathly. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I'm going to come back to that word doubt in a moment. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, this is the one we always stress, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And a lot of times they stop right there. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now I'm going to grab two parts of this for the promise, but I want you to understand something. Now, it says in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. That word doubted in the Greek actually means wavered with uncertainty. Now, I want you to hold on to this for a moment. They wavered with uncertainty. Now, from the context, you get what they're wavering with uncertainty about. Write this down. They wavered with uncertainty concerning the responsibility of their mission. What was the mission? Jesus says, you got to take the message of my life to the whole world. And so they're wavering with uncertainty. They're saying, how in the world are we going to do this? And how are we going to do this without your physical presence with us? For the last 3.5 years, anything they had to do ministerially, Jesus was right there with them. One time he sent them out and they all messed up. Couldn't heal anybody. Couldn't cast out any demons. Most of the time what they do, they go get somebody and bring them to Jesus. Jesus would heal them. Jesus would cast out the demon. So Jesus has told them in John, told them in Luke, told them in Acts, I'm leaving. And I want you to go out in all the world and spread the gospel. And so they are scared to death. And they're wavering with uncertainty. So what's the most important part of the mission? What do they need to hear from Jesus more than go out and spread the gospel? Well, verse 21c, I am with you always. I want you to do this, but I want you to understand something. I will be with you. There's only two areas here, the physical presence of Jesus and the spiritual presence. I want to praise God for 3.5 years. The physical presence of Jesus was there for all these believers. And I want to praise God since the day of Pentecost. The spiritual presence of Jesus has been indwelling all believers. So we don't go and do anything without Jesus. He's there. He's here. But notice what he says. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. But notice what he said in verse 18. Not only am I with you always, all the power I have that has been given unto me in heaven and earth is going to be with you too. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. I will never forsake you. I want you to understand something, my friend. I don't know what you're facing or what you're going through, but I want to give you two promises right now. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you, and He's in you if you're a born-again child of God. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you. And number two, all the power, all the wisdom, all the grace, all the strength of Jesus Christ, the resurrected and ascended Savior, that is with all of Him is with you. And Jesus wants us to hear this. Jesus wants us to listen. Now I want you to think about something for a moment. In my Bible, that's three verses. What if they had heard, go ye therefore in all the earth, but didn't hear, I will be with you? What if they heard, go ye and teach all nations, but didn't hear, all my power is going to be with you? What if they heard, I'm going away, but didn't hear, but I'll send the Comforter to come and dwell? You see how important it is that we try to place ourselves in a position where we're hearing all that the Lord is trying to say to us about a certain situation in our life. That'll be in the next line, but I want a next sermon. But what I want you to understand, sometimes we'll hear a little bit, and then we run off before He gets finished. The Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that you may say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. I'm going to show you next time, good Lord willing, the dangers of the motivation of fear. You know what fear causes us to do? Fear causes us to make a lot of wrong decisions. Fear causes us to make a lot of wrong choices. Fear, you know what one main thing fear does? It causes us to rush in and get ahead of God and move too quickly. So it's very, very important that I stop. As Oswald Chambers says, take a deep spiritual breath. Get upon my watchtower and say, okay, Lord Jesus, this is the situation. I need to hear what it is you have to say to me about this. And you stay there. And you stay there. And you come back. And you come back. And in 1 or 2 days, or in 1 or 2 weeks, or in 1 or 2 months, I guarantee you, you will have clear direction. And you will have heard the voice of God. Many, many years ago, I quit a job without another job. I quit a job without a church. And I looked my boss dead in the eye and said, God has called me to preach, and He spoke to me last night and told me to quit this job and give you 2 weeks' notice. And you know what He said to me? He said, I'll take care of you. Because I said to Him, but Lord, I don't have a job. Lord, I don't have a church. Lord, I don't have seminary. Lord, I don't think anybody's going to hire. And He took the adversarial position in that prayer closet. And you know what he said? Don't worry about any of that. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about any of that. I'll take care of you. He took the opposite approach. And in every major decision I've ever made in my life, we have had that give and take. I will set myself upon that tower. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And take a few moments today and say, Lord Jesus, help me to listen. Show me how to listen. I'm going to ask Judy to play softly for a few moments. And I'm going to ask you to bring a position or bring a situation before the Lord. And you can bring your position before the Lord. You can say, Lord, this is the situation. This is my position. This is what I think I need to do. But I'm going to still myself. And I want to hear your point of view on this. I want to hear you state whatever you want to tell me. And Lord, help me listen and help me hear what you're saying unto me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take a few moments with Jesus.